This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Your source for Pan-African news and world developments, I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Heidi Adams-Fitzpatrick, coming up on Africa News Tonight.
A five-year-old boy from Sierra Leone was found abandoned on one of these cargo trains with a backpack containing women's clothing, and investigators are puzzled about who he really is, why he has no family with him, and where he was going, what he was doing.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome. We'll have full details for you on that story coming up.
Also, just us in, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe resigns today, and residents in Nigeria are still reeling from today's suicide bombing at a mosque in the town of Mubi. At least 21 people were killed and about 35 others were injured. And prosecutors arrest a Chinese national and a former foreign minister of Senegal on bribery charges.
We'll have these stories and more for you ahead on Africa News Tonight.
And we have some late breaking developments that just came in. President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe has resigned. We're just getting word of that. And in studio with us live at this time again is our colleague, Gibbs Dube. Thanks again, Gibbs, for joining us.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, tell us about this new development and what it means.
It's quite some big news, Kim. You know, the Speaker of Parliament has just announced that President Mugabe has resigned. So indications are that the president sent a letter to Parliament, which was actually impeaching him. So they were having this process, and while doing that, a letter was sneaked into the parliamentary chamber, where the Speaker then announced that the president has actually resigned. So there was jubilation from all kinds of people in Parliament. That is the MTC, ZANU-PF MPs, and almost everybody. What I'm saying right now all over the show is, there's jubilation in Harare. There's jubilation in Bulawayo. Everyone is just enjoying the whole thing, because Mr. Mugabe was being impeached and it was going to take a bit of a long time.
So what is the next step now?
So the next step is for ZANU-PF to actually sit down and actually come out with a person who can fill that position. So according to the constitution, they have to actually come out with a candidate who has to be then forwarded to parliament for some kind of endorsement. But as we have seen is that the central committee of the ruling party wants Emmerson Mnangagwa to be the next president. So what they've already done is they've endorsed that he should take over the president's post. But when they did this, it was before the president actually resigned. But there's a technicality. Mr. Mnangagwa was no longer a vice president.
Right.
So now what they're going to do is, Phelekezela Mpoho was in the other camp. He's supposed to be when you follow the constitution, he's supposed to be the next guy to go in. But he's not going to go in because indications are that he's out of the country.
Now, was Parliament surprised at this move by President Mugabe?
I think they were taken by surprise because his party has been putting a lot of pressure on him to leave, but he was just digging in. He didn't want to go. And the reason why he didn't want to go was, you still remember the speech that he actually delivered on Sunday. He actually indicated that he's going to work on these things that are actually affecting Zimbabwe, which include, the military complaining, the war veterans complaining, students, and the economy going down. And he actually acknowledged that he didn't do certain things in the right way. So, but I guess they were very surprised about his move just to resign while they were impeaching him.
Now, many people are also looking at Mnangagwa as saying maybe things will not be any difference with him, and we will have a profile of him coming up after this report. So can you tell us anything on that in terms
In terms of Mr. Emmerson Mnangagwa, he was the state security minister when some atrocities were actually committed in a certain part of Zimbabwe, that is Matabeleland. So people have so many doubts about him getting into the presidency. In fact, people are thinking that he's worse than the president. His nickname is the crocodile. So you know what a crocodile does? It waits and waits and waits and pounces. So now he has pounced onto the position of president, and people are not really jubilant about it. What they wanted to do was to push out the president and then maybe try to forge some kind of transitional government. But it's not coming that way, because ZANU-PF doesn't want it. They are saying they've got the majority in parliament, and so they want to go it alone.
And also, Gibbs, I know our co-host here, Haiti, wants to jump in on this.
Especially on that point that you just mentioned, you know, as we all recover now from the political whiplash of the past few days, is this really truly a new era for Zimbabwe? Because for all intents and purposes, ZANU-PF is still in charge. They're still the ruling party. But from your reporting, are there any signs that this is now a new day, or is it going to be a case of here's the new boss, same as the old boss?
Now, I think it's the same kind of thing, because Mr. Mnangagwa has been Mugabe's right-hand man for many, many years. You know, during the liberation struggle, he was always by his side. After the after independence, he was always by his side. So they are thinking that, you know, the problem is we have just changed, or maybe, you know, moved some chairs in the deck of a ship. So it's not going to change much according to what people believe. So the thing is, at the end of the day, you need somebody who is new outside ZANU-PF. So with somebody coming from ZANU-PF, indications are that things may not move the way that they want. And there's a lot of corruption, by the way, in Zimbabwe. And there are some allegations, very serious allegations, against this guy who's coming in. So, you know, corruption allegations and allegations of, you know, not only that. Mr. Mnangagwa is under targeted sanctions. So what is he going to do, which is new? Because now he's under the US sanctions, EU sanctions, and all those kind of things. So he's still in the same cocoon with the president.
Also, Grace Mugabe has just been so silent throughout this whole process. What is going on with her, and was she told to be silent?
That's a very good question, and nobody knows what she has been doing. According to certain sources, Mr. Mugabe himself has been behaving in a manner that is not known that he can do, because he has been allegedly staring at the picture of his late wife. So maybe if that's the case, he has been sitting there staring at the picture, and some people are saying he has not even been bathing. We are yet to confirm it, but according to sources, right? So, but at the end of the day, it's a question of him maybe neglecting the Mrs. Mugabe, and maybe Mrs. Mugabe feeling the pinch that she did the wrong thing. She's so quiet and isolated.
Ooh, she's not a quiet person. So now she's been very, very quiet.
She's a very loud-mouthed person. You know, you know how she was conducting these public meetings and doing all sorts of things, calling people, stand here, don't laugh at me, run, do this and that. Mm-hmm. Now she's the quietest person in Zimbabwe. I think she may be really, shocked about what is going on. And I know that her colleagues have actually deserted her. The army is, pressurizing her. And then we have got many people who want to see the Mugabe's out. So it's really a sad day for her.
Yes, and also just wanted to ask you one more question regarding Zimbabwe's military. So what is their role exactly at this time with him resigning?
The military itself has been seen as trying to pressurize Mr. Mugabe to step down in order to have a certain smooth succession, you know, in ZANU-PF. That I think I should stress, but it has actually staged what is called a soft coup. This coup was bloodless. This coup was designed to actually make sure that Mugabe goes. So now he has gone, and maybe the military will want to make sure that Mr. Mnangagwa is actually slotted in as the president. Because Mr. Mnangagwa and the securocrats are very much linked. So he has got these roots in the military and all those kind of people. So they'd be happy to see him in. But then at the end of the day, the question is that going to change Zimbabwe? And many people are doubting it. So meaning that we still have the same kind of status quo in charge, and nothing changes with the military actually, doing all sorts of things and calling the shots. So we don't even know what the military is going to do next. But what I may assume is that they're going to pull their men out of the streets. You know, they've been manning roadblocks. They've been doing everything. They've been almost in charge, but not too visible in government. So they've been holding government kind of buildings, you know, but not actually running the government. So there's been so much confusion. Maybe they will relax a little bit and let Mnangagwa take over and then see what he does.
Well, thank you so much, Gibbs, for this interesting perspective of what's going on in Zimbabwe. And I'm sure we'll have you back again to give us further information on it. And that's VOA's Zimbabwe service, Gibbs Dube, speaking with us here in Studio 22. And just to go on ahead, the man expected to take the helm after Mugabe's resignation is Emmerson Mnangagwa. The former VP has strong backing from the military, but critics say he hardly represents a new Zimbabwe. Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
For 37 years, Emmerson Mnangagwa was Robert Mugabe's right-hand man and one of his staunchest defenders. Mnangagwa was at a ZANU-PF rally in central Zimbabwe earlier this year. ZANU-PF is a sacred party, he tells the crowd. It will rule and rule. Those barking will continue doing that while ZANU-PF remains in power. Forward with Mr. Mugabe. Forward with ZANU-PF, he says. What a difference a few months make. Now deposed Vice President Mnangagwa, nicknamed the Crocodile for his cunning guerrilla tactics in Zimbabwe's independence war, is leading calls for Mugabe to step down. Last week, the military put Mugabe under house arrest, demanding Mnangagwa's reinstatement and Mugabe's resignation. Mugabe fired Mnangagwa earlier this month, accusing him of treachery. The move was widely seen as a chance for Mugabe to fill the position with his unpopular 52-year-old wife, Grace Mugabe. Since 1980, Mnangagwa has served in a handful of cabinet positions, including as intelligence chief, and he was made vice president in 2014 after Mugabe fell out with his predecessor Joyce Majuru, now also a bitter Mugabe critic. Mnangagwa's investiture, in fact, would settle a bitter generational power struggle within the ruling party. One faction of Liberation-era fighters-turned-politicians is led by Mnangagwa, who earned his nickname in 1965, the year Grace Mugabe was born. The other, the G40 faction of younger Zimbabweans, was led by Grace Mugabe and enjoyed privileged access to her husband. Chris Muchanga, head of the influential War Veterans Association, said they are supporting Mnangagwa. He blamed the nation's struggling economy on the poor leadership of the younger faction.
They have no idea of how to run a modern state, so they've run a scorched earth policy on the economy. But what we have done with my leadership of the war veterans is to give back the people of Zimbabwe their conscience, because they look to the people who fought and liberated them for guidance. And when we then said there's something wrong with this man and his wife and the team, the cabal called the G40.
Is Mnangagwa a breath of fresh air? Zimbabwean scholars are quick to note he is widely credited with being the architect of Gakura Hundi, a series of army-led massacres of political and ethnic rivals in the 1980s. Mnangagwa has maintained a low profile since his firing, but in a widely circulated statement Tuesday, he criticizes the regime's corruption, incompetency, dereliction of duty and laziness, social and cultural decadency. But why now? Perhaps Mnangagwa let his intentions show in an interview 2 years ago with local media, in which he spoke proudly of his nickname, the Crocodile. It never goes in the villages or in the bush looking for food, he said. It strikes at the appropriate time. Could this be Emmerson Mnangagwa's time? Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Residents in the Nigerian state of Adamawa are still reeling from today's suicide bombing at a mosque in the town of Mubi. At least 21 people were killed and about 35 others were injured. The attack happened as people arrived for morning prayers. Police say a teenager who had mingled with worshippers at the crowded mosque detonated his bomb. The terror group Boko Haram is believed to be behind the attack. Coordinator for the National Emergency Management Agency, Bashir Idris, says there was chaos when he and his team arrived at the scene.
About 35 others received varying degrees of injury. Out of them, 8 were seriously injured and were therefore referred to the Federal Medical Center in Yola. We worked hand in hand with emergency services, the military, the police, and the civil defense to cordon off the area and carry out the evacuation exercise. Meanwhile, the area is calm and placid. And my agency worked assiduously to tell them not to relax, having achieved some level of peace in that troubled region, that they should embark on serious neighborhood watch, screen whoever comes to their community, and report suspicious elements to the police or the law enforcement agents. However, in the course of the assignment today, we witnessed lots of challenges in the area of chaos. You see outpouring of relatives coming and people who are not friends wanting to partake in the evacuation exercise. In fact, it's one of the major challenges we face. However, we have talked to community leaders and elders to intensify effort and not to relax. We ask them to be up and doing and ensure a very sound neighborhood watch.
Boko Haram has been blamed for more than 20,000 deaths during its nearly decade-old insurgency, which has spilled over into neighboring countries and displaced millions of people.
And my agency worked assiduously to tell them not to relax, having achieved some level of peace in that troubled region, that they should embark on serious neighborhood watch, screen whoever come to their community, and report suspicious elements to the police or the law enforcement agents. However, in the course of the assignment today, we witnessed lots of challenges in the area of chaos. You see outpouring of relatives coming and people who are not friends wanting to partake in the evacuation exercise. In fact, it's one of the major challenges we face. However, we have talked to community leaders and elders to intensify effort and not to relax. We ask them to be up and doing and ensure a very sound neighborhood watch.
That was the coordinator for the National Emergency Management Agency in Northeast Nigeria, Bashir Idris.
U.S. prosecutors accuse Cheikh Gadio, a former foreign minister of Senegal, and Chi Ping Patrick Ho, a former Hong Kong official, of spending years bribing officials in Uganda and Chad. A criminal complaint unsealed yesterday says they offered millions of dollars in bribes to gain advantages for a Shanghai energy and financial company. Federal agents arrested Ho on Saturday. Gadio was arrested Friday. Both remain in custody. They are charged with criminal bribery and international money laundering. Prosecutors say they targeted Idris Deby, the president of Chad, and Sam Kutesa, the Ugandan foreign minister who served as president of the UN General Assembly from 2014 to 2015. Investigators say Ho and Gadio began plotting in 2014 when they met at the UN in New York. At the time, Gadio ran a consulting firm while Ho headed a nonprofit that received funding from the energy company. The complaint doesn't name the nonprofit or the Chinese company behind it. The embassy of Chad in Washington and Uganda's mission to the UN in New York did not respond to requests for comment. Mystery surrounds the discovery of a 5-year-old boy from Sierra Leone who was found abandoned on a cargo train at the Brenner, which is located at the Italian-Austrian border. The small child, named Anthony, was found with a backpack containing women's clothing and was suffering from hypothermia when found by Italian railway police. I spoke with reporter Josephine McKenna about what circumstances could have led to the abandonment of the child and how long he had been in Italy, since he does understand the language.
This is a particular issue that concerns the cargo trains that are traveling from Italy into Austria through what's called the Brenner Pass. Now, Italy and Austria are trying to clamp down on the movement of undocumented migrants, and this area is known as the Highway of Despair because these migrants are trying to make their way to Austria. Now, a 5-year-old boy from Sierra Leone was found abandoned on one of these cargo trains with a backpack containing women's clothing, and investigators are puzzled about who he really is, why he has no family with him, and where he was going, what he was doing. How did this young African child get to the Italian-Austrian border, and where are the adults that were accompanying him? And he was found almost freezing to death because the temperatures up there are so cold, 4 degrees below zero Celsius, and the entire landscape covered in snow. This is a very dramatic story, and I think it indicates just how difficult it is for many of these migrants, and particularly young children who are abandoned or left alone, travelling unaccompanied, particularly when the Austrian authorities too stepping up their checks of migrants on these goods trains at the border.
I also understand he does understand Italian. Is that correct?
Yes, that's another thing that's baffling us. The child has been able to communicate with Italian social services and police, but they don't seem to be any closer to finding out where his relatives may be. It's likely that he was accompanied by a woman, possibly his mother, but the train drivers that passed through that area said they didn't notice anything and had no clues about what had really happened. The authorities in that area have set up a task force to not only try and get to the bottom of what happened to this child, but to try and get a better grip of what's going on in that border area to ensure that people are protected, even though they do indicate that the number of asylum seekers has been dropping in recent weeks. But they do want to find out what is going on, and it could simply be the latest in a run of tragedies along this particular railway line.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna. She spoke with me from Rome. And to recap our top stories, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has resigned, according to the Speaker of Zimbabwe's parliament. Speaker Jacob Mudenda read out what he said was a letter from Mugabe, which read, quote, "I, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, in terms of Section 96 of the Constitution of Zimbabwe, hereby formally tender my resignation with immediate effect," unquote. There has been no confirmation of the letter from the president or his office. Celebrations broke out in parliament after Mutenda's announcement. Lawmakers had gathered to start impeachment proceedings against Mugabe, who is 93 years old and has ruled Zimbabwe for 37 years. The president faced pressure to resign since last week when the military took over state institutions and his own party called on him to resign.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Haiti Adams-Fitzpatrick in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News. That's coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.